The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said to his disciples, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He takes away every branch in me that does not bear fruit, and every one that does, he prunes so that it bears more fruit. You are already pruned because of the word that I spoke to you. Remain in me as I remain in you. Just as a branch cannot bear fruit on its own unless it remains on the vine, so neither can you unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever remains in me and I in him will bear much fruit, because without me you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me will be thrown out like a branch and wither. People will gather them and throw them into a fire, and they will be burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask for whatever you want, and it will be done for you. By this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. The Gospel of the Lord.
So it's a really important image for John, what Jesus gives us here in the farewell discourse. I am the true vine, my Father is the vine grower. This is it's an image of Israel. Israel is the vine. So Jesus is proposing, you know, not simply a good and applicable agricultural image. He's adopting that symbol, as it were, of God and his people. He is the true Israel. Jesus is the true Israel. He's Israel in the flesh. Why do we have to make a point of that? Well, we have to make a point of it because we are called in this same passage to bear fruit. But it has to be then fruit along those lines, the plan and purpose of God. And if we're not in that space, then we're going to take that image and just run in every which direction, which kind of goes against the sense of pruning. Right, pruning is not pruning whatever it is we intend to prune, whether it's the vine, grapes, roses on a bush, whatever. The plant doing its own thing is precisely what the pruner does not want. The pruner wants to come in and clip so as to give direction to what the plant is able to do in order that it bear what we know to be the proper fruit, which is itself is a really significant theological claim, right? Because we say, well, you know, just let the plants grow wild, you know, and this is kind of like some part of a new environmentalist movement, just like let everything grow wild, because that's its natural state. So that's the best thing. Not exactly, right? I mean, we could compare roses from a bush that is pruned and one that isn't, and say, no, it, quite clearly, the one that is pruned for that intention bears the best roses. Now, the charge that will come back our way is that it's very anthropocentric of us, right? You've made sure that man is at the center, because we ourselves are judging the beauty of the roses, when in fact we should, maybe the scraggly ones are just as good as the other ones. There is more of an objective nature to beauty than that. And like I said, it's a significant theological claim to say that man is given dominion over the works of God to flourish them, right? To give them proper form, to bring them to full flourishing, to have them participate more fully in the beauty that God wants them to achieve. But it is an anthropocentric view, but God has an anthropocentric view. God puts man at the center of the operation to be his good and wise stewards so as to bring the world to full flourishing. And of course, I've trapped myself in the agricultural aspects of it, right? We could say also, well, just let relationships run their course, right? I hope you can hear let relationships run their course. We'd all be living in horrible relationships, right? But no, you're kinder than I am. Okay, so let relationships run their course. You can say also, do what comes naturally. Do what comes naturally. Now, please don't do what comes naturally, right? No one wants to see that. We want good to be good and wise stewards. It means that we're good and wise stewards over what God has entrusted to us, our most intimate, say, quote-unquote, possession, but our very selves, our hearts, our lives, our physical well-being, he entrusts to us. Also, our relationships. And then down the line, roses. Sorry, gardeners, but somewhere a bit further down the line. So anyway, God and his purposes, right? This is the point, the vine, God and his purposes. And it's Jesus who embodies that, the plan and purpose of God. He is bringing it forward. He's bringing it to fruition. And then he's calling people to join him on the way, to be the new Israel grafted onto the vine. Right? So we're to have life and we're to bear fruit by being grafted onto the vine by drawing our life from him, from Jesus. One of the great gospel themes that we see in Jesus is the way that he fulfills or brings forward the purposes of God. We say something like what Israel had anticipated for some time was that God was going to save them from suffering, restore, and then with a restored Israel, a renewed Israel, he was going to restore all of creation. But actually what God does is he saves them through suffering. And this is where we might want to get into the pruning of God. Because if we don't see that God is saving Israel or restoring or renewing Israel through suffering, then when we suffer, all we're going to do is try to run away from it. And if that's our main intent, we might run away from it and also leave the vine. We might cut ourselves off from the vine in order to run away from the suffering that we're enduring. But if we see that the most important thing in the world is to remain on the vine, then we can endure suffering. And even stronger than that, we won't be pulled off course by pleasure or by popularity or by wealth or by whatever it is. We remain on the vine because we know that the one thing that we have to do to advance the plan and purpose of God is to cling to Jesus, is to draw our life from Jesus. And then drawing our life from Jesus, we bear fruit. Now, what the pruning and the rest, yeah, is there are at least three important things. And because I just said three, I'm not going to remember the third one. But because it's too long a list, there are at least three important things to consider here. One is, okay, pruning and our bearing fruit, God's intention, right? It's what God's intention is for us in our lives. He is the one who determines what shape and direction and the rest our life is going to take. Not us. We don't get to say, well, I can bear this fruit, so I'm going to bear this fruit. No, God is the one who will bring us to our full flourishing. Okay, the second part, I guess, kind of. See, I've already lost it. But the second idea is the bearing of this fruit is how do we say? It's 1A really. It's all referred to him. So as to say that there is some uniform fruit, like the fruit of the Spirit that we know we have access to, that we're bearing in our hearts and lives when we're following him. But he's the one who again gives shape to what we're supposed to be doing. He's the one who gives direction to what we're supposed to be doing. He's the one, when we draw on his life, he is giving us the sustenance that we need to be able to bear the particular fruit that he wants us to bear. But it's always the fruit of the Spirit. We will always have to show the fruit of the Spirit because the fruit of the Spirit is the fruit of a Spirit-led life. Yeah, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, generosity, faithfulness, and self-control. That's the fruit that we are going to embody when we submit to the pruner's knife, when we submit to God's way, when we entrust ourselves whole and entire to him, then whatever fruit of the kingdom that we are bearing, whatever good works he entrusts to our care, the sign that we are doing it faithfully is that we are bearing the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, and the rest. Okay, the third is just to say, Yeah, we sometimes believe when we set foot on our journey to bring forward the fruit of the kingdom, we sometimes think we know what that's going to look like over the course of time, and then we get clipped, and we don't know, and what do we do with it, right? It's painful. It seems as though something that we were meant to be doing is coming to an end. It seems like whatever God has entrusted to our care, relationship, or good work, or even something with our own body and physical health, and it seems like it's just not working out the way that we thought it should be working out. We have to submit there to the pruner's knife. Now, when it comes to wickedness, evil, the rest, we have to push back as hard as we can because we know what God's promised future is, and we're laboring to bring it about. But as we do that, we also are submitting ourselves to God. We also are submitting ourselves to the pruner's knife. We also still have the humility of being simply a branch on the vine and not the vine itself. We don't get to make the determination. We're not the pruner. We're not the vine. We're a branch on the vine. Right? We're going for what God wants. We're going for the coming of his kingdom. And we're doing it only by drawing on the life of Jesus, which affects what God promises through suffering. So it's ours to humbly submit to him and his way, draw on the strength of Jesus' own life that he gives us here in abundance, and follow him where he leads. That is our only way to bear fruit, to bear the good fruit of a spirit-led life, to bear good fruit for the kingdom of God.